This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
How the heck are you here on a Wednesday? Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, One Bills Live. Thanks for joining us. Took till today. I'm officially excited about the draft. I'm officially excited now. I was
it'll be good.
I was in the day-to-day grind of, like, are we ever going to get there? Now I'm excited. I'm ready to go now.
You know what did it for me? There's some stuff on social out there now that you're seeing, like, all these guys that we've been watching all the highlights of and seeing. They're all in Detroit. They're kind of making the PR rounds for the NFL, getting ready for the draft. Got all
was
the swag.
It 13 or 15?
13
I think
of them.
Players
they're
are
all
going to be there.
They're
in
all
the green
swagged.
Room.
They're all swagged out, going around working with, you know, doing stuff for the kids and all that. And yeah, now it's real, right? They're actually
it is on. Like they have you seen the setup there? Like out in
not.
The street?
I have not.
They literally built an amphitheater in 4 days. Like it's a portable amphitheater. Like.
Listen,
and I realized, you know, they did it in Kansas City last year in not so many ways, you know.
There's companies out there that can get it
done,
stuff
just pops up out of the ground. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, think about it, though. They do that for golf all the time. They put up all these grandstands and all that on these places.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, you know.
This is pretty grandiose,
it's
though. Yeah.
It's pretty complicated.
The NFL doesn't play around with the draft. It's a big deal.
I'll say it again. It's not like they have a budget, you know.
I mean, right?
Well, here's the way it works. The reason I say they don't have a budget, Detroit, to get the draft, the city writes a check to the NFL. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
The city's going there, we put a bid together, and Detroit paid more money than Indy or Philly or Buffalo or Chicago or blah, 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 any other city. And they're all kind of asking about it, right? Because you'd want to give that to your city if you're a mayor or town council or whatever. So that's, you know, that'll cover it. In fact, not only will cover it, we'll put a roof over it this year so they don't get rained on.
Well, it's like, it looks like it really does look like an amphitheater. You know, like one of those dome, like those band shells. It's like a giant, like a it's band like, shell like, times 10.
Like Darien Lake sort of thing.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty cool. Detroit, all eyes will be on Detroit tomorrow night.
Good for them.
And, man, is there a lot of stuff coming down the pike here. A lot of the national news breakers that cover the NFL beat are listing a bunch of late chatter about, you know, the first round. There's also some transactional stuff going on as well. So we will wait no longer and get to around the NFL, which is – brought to you by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. And before we get to what we had as some of the lead items, there are other items. As the Cincinnati Bengals, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, have exercised the fifth-year option on Ja'Marr Chase's contract. That is no surprise.
Right.
He is the guy that is expected to be there long-term. T. Higgins set to play his last year in Cincinnati. He is not going to be traded. That's what the Bengals have said. They want to run it back with him and a healthy Joe Burrow, see how far they can get one last time. Makes you wonder, if they're keeping T. Higgins, are they taking a receiver at 18, knowing they'll only have him for one more year, kind of plan ahead? Or do they help themselves with D-line or O-line help? They need a tackle on offense. They need a defensive tackle. So the general consensus is they may go line, not receiver in round one. I would tend to lean that way.
Would, too. I mean, the injuries that Joe Burrow had last year really didn't have anything to do with a bad offensive line. Now, they did a few years ago when he got crushed 90,000 times, and 9 times in a playoff game. They still won the game, but he got hurt as well. This last year, it was a calf. Remember in training camp, first thing out of the box, and first day of training camp, he's barely even jogging, and he pops a calf muscle, comes back from that. Then his wrist goes down, wrist surgery. That doesn't have anything to do with his offensive line, but it does accentuate the fact that you got to keep that guy upright.
Yeah,
because they got no chance without him.
And I'm telling you, he gets one more injury and misses time again this year, his new nickname is going to be Glass Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be his new nickname. He can't stay on the field.
Yeah. I'll say this. He is elite when he's on the field, and so is their team. He elevates everybody on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I think they got to think, okay, listen, we got We got Chase. We got Higgins. Let's, you know what, let's protect Joe.
I think they wait on receiver. I think they go O-line or D-line, depending on what the value is by the time they pick at 18. And then I think they get a receiver in round two, which is where they got T. Higgins 4 years ago. Right. So second-round pick panned out really well for them. So I think that's kind of the approach they take. Other AFC North news, according to multiple reports, the Pittsburgh Steelers have restructured the contract of outside linebacker Alex Highsmith, their second-best pass rusher behind T.J. Watt. And when you see contracts getting restructured this late in the game, it is for a reason. Are they creating more cap space to execute a trade to acquire a player? As prior to this, Steelers had $11 million under the cap in terms of cap space. That pretty much covers your draft class. So they're creating more cap space for another reason. Is it to acquire a player like a Brandon Ayuk, perhaps San Francisco's receiver? Wow. So it's going to, you know, you try to read between the lines, you try to read the tea leaves a little bit. Steelers restructuring Alex Highsmith's contract to give them more cap space this year. Why are they doing that? That is the question. So something to keep an eye on as we move forward. Now we can get to the other. That all that just came down in the last half an hour.
Right.
So stuff is flying today.
Yeah.
But the biggest news of the day, the Lions have just backed up the Brinks truck for Amon-Ra St. Brown, Detroit's top receiver, gets a four-year, $120 million contract, $77 million of which is guaranteed. That is $30 million a year for you non-math majors, which matches Tyreek Hill's league-leading contract for the receiver position. And I'll tell you this, Steve, my first thought, and I mentioned this to you before we even came on the air, to me, this deal dampens the interest in trading for Brandon Ayuk. Let's just think about this. You're a GM in the league, and you're sitting there going, well, I love Brandon Ayuk, but I got to give up a first-round pick, probably a little bit more, and pay $30 million a year
for
Ayuk in a year where we have perhaps the deepest class of receivers ever. I don't think I'm doing it.
No, Ayuk's staying put after this deal. Because who's – I mean, okay, you can push some of that down the road and you can guarantee a higher salary of it or you can shorten the deal, whatever you want to do. But, yeah, Ayuk's going to say, okay, me – and he's going to say two words. Me too.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so
I want St. Brown money.
Yeah. Me too. And there he is. So Ayuk doesn't – that seems to – and we said this – he said this about Zach Wilson earlier in the week for a different reason. But Ayuk's not going anywhere, right? Or is he?
Until he does.
Yeah, until we talk about it and say how unlikely it is, and then in our end of the show, it happens. I'm thinking if Ayuk is going to get traded, the deal's already set. And like if it is
– like the parameters have been discussed.
Like it is with the Steelers. And what will happen is if this Amon-Ra St. Brown – deal gets in the way, it's only because of the guarantee. So what Ayuk will say, all right, that's fine. You can give me 25 a year, but you got to guarantee me 80 instead of 75.
You know, and maybe he doesn't get close to St. Brown money because, I mean, St. Brown did have a better season than him. I mean, 1,500 yards, 119 receptions, 10 touchdowns. Now, Ayuk wasn't far off of that. 7 touchdowns, 1,300 plus yards on 75 receptions, and he averaged 18 yards a catch. That is not what Amon-Ra St. Brown did. He averaged 12 yards a catch. So there are some differences in terms of the type of receivers they are for their respective clubs. But I got to believe Ayuk's at least pulling down 28 and a half a year. I mean, at least.
Right.
That's the floor.
And he's got to get, and he'll have to get 70 plus guaranteed as well, right? I mean, that's what they're, that's
the
thing.
I think it dampens the market.
Obviously, the guarantees are what really sells the contract, even for Amon-Ra St. Brown. But that's a giant contract for a guy who, hey, he was productive. Like you said, Brownie, he's got it going on. But if you're Ayuk, you're saying, okay, you got to get me in that ballpark, though. You don't have to put me on the pitcher's mound, but I got to be in the dugout.
Or,
I got to be in the game. I'm not selling popcorn in that stadium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that does change everything. And but like I said, there's conversations going all the time, and this Pittsburgh thing's intriguing. And if they are in the market for that.
You're not restructuring a contract on April 24th right. unless you know there's the potential to swing a trade and you need more cap space to get it done, right? You're putting yourself in position
right.
to do something like that. And with word that the Steelers are restructuring Alex Highsmith's contract, it would lead you to believe something is in the works there for them to execute a player acquisition of some kind.
Up until this time, Pittsburgh was like 20th in the league.
Because the reports are already out there. They're not going to exercise Justin Fields' fifth-year option, you know, and that would be to create space for next year, mm-hmm. which is not what they're worried about, presumably. So, okay, you know that. So they're not, you know, trying to save money next year on the cap to do that because that's not on the table. Russell Wilson presumably is not going to be there next year unless he lights the world on fire for them. I think it's for a player acquisition. I think they've been talking to a team that they're interested in acquiring a player from who could be available, and it's close enough where they say, okay, we've got to move on this, so we have the cap space to absorb whatever player contract we're absorbing, you know, whether it's the $14 million fifth-year option for Ayuk right now, and then we'll talk to him about an extension after, or something else, because they're only 11 under the cap right now.
The website, I was looking at the same thing. They're like 12 is what I got, yeah. Right at 12. So if they do restructure.
And save another eight.
Save another eight. That means they could give a guy that $8 million up front with a bonus that's amortized over the life of the contract of whatever they want.
They got to find a way to fit 14 under because it's the 50-year option deal. Now, of course, you could acquire Ayuk and then tear up the 50-year option and start over.
Right.
And if you have $8 million to work with, you can make that work. You pay him base minimum, give him a $7 million bonus in his pocket right now, and then say 2025, you're getting the farm. We've got an option right. bonus for you in year two of the contract that's $60 million.
Right.
You know, that's something right. like that.
Something like that. And they'll be able to do it because they don't even have a quarterback under contract that year.
Right.
So that they'll be free and clear. They'll have, you know, loads of cap space. Plus you get two guys to play with, Justin Fields, who's playing for his variable pro life, and Russ Wilson, who wants to, you know, one last kick at the can as well. He's playing for $38 million that Denver's paying him. He'll be with some guys that can sling it, and they're going to be highly motivated to compete. So, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know, though. That Amon-Ra St. Brown deal that Detroit just made is monstrous. I
mean, you just took the Wile E. Coyote TNT plunger
and pushed it down. And I'm not saying anything about anybody. I really am not. But it's been my experience with guys, you know, that I've played with and then I've played against and then I've been to the Pro Bowl with all the guys that play that number one wideout spot. There's a couple of things about them. One, they want the ball. Two, they want to get paid. And Amon-Ra, when that contract drops, there's going to be guys all over the league. Like, what do you think Ja'Marr Chase is thinking right now?
He's thinking, by the time I step up to the plate next year, I could be getting $52 million a year.
I'm getting quarterback money.
Well, not 52. I meant 32. Sorry.
He's going to get 32. He's going to get 35. He goes, listen, I'm going to set the mark. I'm the guy. I am the guy. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing all over.
Yeah.
Every number, Tyreek is sitting down there already doing it. Jalen Waddle's sitting there going, keep going because I'm going to get mine.
And that's why I think more of these teams that are in the market for a receiver are going to say, the heck with that. I'm getting cheap labor for the next 4 years. We got one of the best receiver classes in the history of the draft. I'm getting one here in this draft so I can get cheap labor for 4 years. I'm not entertaining a $32 million a year deal.
And let's not all, it's not just the number one wideouts either. Think what Justin Herbert is saying to Jim Harbaugh right about now. You got to get me a guy.
Yeah.
Get me one. You're at five. We don't come up here all that often.
Yeah, but I know. They drafted a receiver in round one last year, Quentin Johnston, out of TCU.
Justin Herbert's sitting there going, listen, look at our division, Brosleaf, Jim, Harbaugh, Coach. Get me a guy. Get me Malik Nabers. Get me Roma Dunze. Get me Marvin Harrison Jr. One of those three guys. I need that. We need that guy in our offense because I'm trying to win a foot race with Pat Mahomes, and I got a busted leg right now. Let's go. I mean, don't you? If you're Justin Herbert, what are they going to do? Cut him? No. Let's go. You gotta put your thumb on the coach and say, listen, you can come on.
Help
get me
out.
That guy. What are you going to do? I mean, okay, so if you got a guy you like, if they like this Johnson kid, all right, get me Brock Bowers. Give me something.
Or give me another guy because I've already.
Because
Mike Williams is playing for the Jets and Keenan Allen's playing for the Bears. What are you doing for me?
And then get me four offensive linemen after that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. This is unbelievable. Right before the draft, too, because all these teams. We heard it with Josh when he came back. He said, "Yeah, they texted back and forth. You give your franchise quarterback the heads up. Say, hey, Steph is on the block right now.
Well,
let's say, hey, this is going to happen or this is going to happen on the draft. You don't think every elite you think Mahomes calls up Big Red and says, yo,
or Brett Veach,
yeah, what are we going to do? Help me out. You don't man."
Yeah.
And contracts like this at this point just.
Oh, they spin the hamster wheel even faster.
Oh, dude, the whole machine cranks up. The whole machine. Agents for the draft. I mean, it just like throws a match on the fire, man. It's like, you can hear it. It's so unbelievable that this point of this. This is like. This is the Super Bowl for all the personnel people, of which there's like 30% of the football staff is this day.
Yeah.
All the scouts, the this is their Super Bowl. And somebody just threw a match I'm telling you, man, every quarterback is going to get on the floor and say, hey, we can't let our guy go. We got to get one. Yeah. We got to keep our guy happy.
Keep an eye on the Steelers. Just restructured Alex Highsmith's contract. That doesn't happen this time of year for no reason. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler has been working the phones. He reported that when he asked teams to predict which player will be the fourth receiver taken, the one name that comes up fairly often is Texas receiver Xavier Worthy, fourth wideout.
Okay.
LSU's Brian Thomas Jr. is in that conversation, too, according to Fowler. He's bracing to go somewhere in the teens or early to mid-20s, Steve. Brian Thomas, teens to early to mid-20s.
The Bills,
Steve,
can get to...
That's striking distance.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Tasker.
If the Bills take 28 and 60, they could get to number...
17, right? Isn't that what we said?
17, 16,
somewhere in there?
17, 18. Jacksonville, Cincinnati. Now, they could go up and talk to Seattle, but they might have to throw
in a fifth. A couple of AFC teams may have no interest in helping the Bills.
They're throwing a fifth rounder. They could throw in a fifth round. The one, the two, and
they
the
got three fives.
And
do
a
five
rounder. And they could get up there and do that. Yes, absolutely.
There is an update on Brian Thomas's shoulder injury from Combine Medical Recheck. Shoulder issue in college, but Fowler is reporting that the teams he's spoken to say it's not a major red flag, just something they have to manage in year one. Meanwhile, Texas's A.D. Mitchell, Georgia's Ladd McConkey, Florida State's Keon Coleman, and South Carolina's Xavier Leggett are among possibilities late in the round as well. The Bills, according to Fowler, will basically scour the earth for receiver help in this draft. Those are his words. Word is they love Adunze and loosely know what it would take to acquire him. Does he expect the Bills to trade up for him? No, it's a steep climb to the top 10, which is where many people believe you have to get if you want to land him. But that's a window into the legwork that Buffalo is doing on the wide receiver position. Scouring the earth, Steve.
Where's
like nomads word? In the desert,
like scouring the earth. There's, you know, it's, you're right. And let me just thumb through here, and I'll tell you where they're at. They are on the wide receiver train.
Oh, you're, I know what you're going to do here.
And it's time for the wide. We got to get the wide.
Got to play the horn. The horn. Is that what we're
horn,
doing?
The train horn is on.
Here, all right, let it rip. With Steve using apps, and oh, he's got to. He's got to turn up his volume. There we go. Wide receiver train are rolling.
The train horn is on. That is it. That the Bills are doing it. That's the thing. We've been talking about it. The one and the two will get them to 17-18. 28-60 get them up to 17-18.
I've said it a bunch of times. I think if Brian Thomas gets past the Colts at 15, I think Brandon Bean is on the phone with the Seahawks.
He can get up there with the 28 pick and the 60 pick and a fifth.
I don't think the Bengals are taking a receiver, but I think the Jaguars might take.
And here's the thing too, the Bengals would probably not take a receiver, and there's enough offensive linemen, you could drop back and get a really quality tackle.
Yes, you can.
So the Bengals would drop back 28, still get a great player that can play. So they might be ripe for that, but, you know,
10 spots is a heck of a drop.
You're going to have to give them some stuff.
You have to sweeten the pot for that.
So but that's it. If you get that guy,
yeah. The Patriots have fielded a ton of trade calls, but apparently they haven't been wowed by anything. They're open to offers, but most of the insiders believe they're going to stay put. If New England selects a quarterback at 3, it's said that no one should be surprised if they take a wide receiver at 34 in round 2, assuming there's good options there. The key thing is, if the Patriots do move out of that spot at 3, how far down do they go? Minnesota would be a target that makes sense here. They've got 11 and 23. The Patriots could slide down to 11, and word is they do like Michael Penix and would be fine taking him at 11, not at 3. So if they stay at 3 and get a guy they like, whoever that might be, fine. But they may also move back as far as 11 in a deal with Minnesota, and then Michael Penix would be their preference there. And you would feel safe there because you're still ahead of Denver and Las Vegas at 12 and 13.
Right. That makes some sense to me. What are you going to get to do that? That remains to be seen. We'll see.
So the two teams that have spoken the most with the Patriots, according to reports, this is ESPN's Dan Graziano reporting this, Giants and Vikings, two teams talking to the Patriots the most about their pick at 3. It's basically if Washington takes Daniels at number 2, the Giants will be on the phone looking to get up to number 3, where they reportedly like Drake May. Now, early in the process, they were in love with J.J. McCarthy. That is now flipped to Drake May now, according to the latest reports.
Drake May, well, you think about it, you know, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, on the staff, they drafted Josh Allen. Drake May is the closest thing in this draft to him.
Here's the other juicy one, Steve. According to Dan Graziano, he has been told in recent days that the Giants like Michael Penix and might even be willing to take him in the number 6 hole where they currently sit. Penix at 6. I know you liked him from the jump. I like him too. He's got the best arm in the draft. You know,
he's
two ACLs
passer.
Is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
You better have a damn good offensive line if he's going to be your quarterback, because he's not running around like these other guys.
Yeah.
But he can sling it, man.
He can sling it. Good arm. The thing about it, he seems to see it too. I mean, he's throwing it into windows and he's – yeah, I liked him a lot when I saw him. I saw him live a little bit, then, of course, went back and watched some tape. And guy's got it. I mean, I like where he's at. He throws it, man. He's got a pro arm. And I thought he was really underrated. In fact, I watched this because I was watching. Who was I watching? Who's the receiver? Franklin? Not Rank Franklin.
Troy Franklin, yeah.
Troy Franklin. Or was it Deion Coleman?
No. Keon Coleman?
Keon Coleman. Anyway. So I'm watching him, and I'm watching the receiver, and then I'm going, well, I don't know. The quarterbacks make some pretty good.
Yeah, Bo Nix, you like.
Yeah, that's right. Bo Nix I was watching. But
with Troy Franklin, yeah.
But when I was watching Washington, I was also watching one of their receivers first before I saw
Jalen Polk or Odunze or Jalen McMillan.
Polk.
Okay.
And I was watching him, and then I was like, God, who's the guy, man? He's a good player. I like him.
Yeah, Penix.
And then, then I found out, I said, in fact, I asked you, I think, why is Penix not hiring all these people? And he said, well, he had four season-ending injuries in four straight years.
And he's also 24 years old.
Yeah, and I was like, man, oh, man, I don't know. That guy's good. It doesn't surprise me if there are teams that see him for what he is and are willing to we're just going to protect him and see if he can play. I like the guy. Yeah. He's got as high a floor in year one as any of these guys.
And the best arm.
Mainly because I see Caleb Williams going to Chicago, and there's always an abyss there. So he's got a floor that's unreachable. Yeah. So, with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, Mike Penix is going to be a good year.
It wouldn't stun me.
It wouldn't me either. I think it's the right thing for them to do.
Might be.
But I'm just
Daniel Jones ain't it.
That's right. That's right.
Let's get to our topic of discussion today. Obviously, we've been receiver heavy, knowing the Bills' primary need on offense, and we continue in this way today on that very subject. Who is the last wide receiver you'd take at pick 28 if you were the Bills? We all have our rankings list of receivers and who we like for the Bills, but who's the last wide receiver on your list you'd be good taking at pick 28
if you were the Bills?
And yeah, we have our
obviously
put a list 10, of 10 yeah. up on the tweet sheet when we put the question out on Twitter. So
I think we should. May I just?
Or maybe you have somebody else that you really like.
Some Twitter etiquette. We should have made the list like six names long and said who's not on this list that you would take at 28.
No, I kind of like the way we did it here.
All right.
Who's the last guy you would take and be okay with value wise at 28? Did you put a list together, Steve?
No. I mean,
I've got eight guys that I'd be okay taking at 28.
I'll take four guys or five. Man, I may take five guys off of that list. I'll take everybody at the top three plus Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, and everybody else. I don't know.
Not even your boy Xavier Leggett?
Not even Xavier Leggett. I don't know. The Bills had a private – it was reported they had a private workout with Xavier Leggett.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick that in my pipe
along
and
with
smoke
about
it.
50 other receivers.
Right. Right. I'll say this. They know more about Xavier Leggett than I do, so I'm going to trust them that they're going to get him right if they do consider him.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes off at 28, believe me, they'll believe he's worth it.
I obviously would be good with any of the top three, Harrison, Neighbors, or Dunze. I don't think they get within striking distance of any of them. Thomas, Mitchell, Leggett. I could even wrap my head around Xavier Worthy at 28, although he's very low on my list.
He's lower,
and then McConkey I could take too, even if he does not diversify the Bills' passing game. Because to me, he's a Shakir clone.
All right, so you got the first three. You got Brian Thomas Jr. I think we're all in agreement on that. My next guy, I think, is A.D. Mitchell. Then it's Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, I have Leggett six on my list, then Worthy, McConkey.
Yeah, then I'd take McConkey, then Worthy.
And I'm talking strictly fit for the Bills. That's why McConkey's last, because he mimics what you already have. You need to diversify the passing game, not be redundant with it.
And
that's no knock on McConkey. I love him as a player.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a very successful career. And if the Bills draft him, I'm not going to be upset. But I don't know if he diversifies the offense as much as some of the other guys.
I think you can probably stretch his envelope a little bit. I mean, he's not just a slot guy or whatever. And he's catching, we're watching him, he's catching 17-yard comebacks, So that's plenty deep enough. I like McConkey because of his – I like A.D. Mitchell first because of his attributes
he's dynamic.
And his catch percentage.
He had one drop last year.
And then I like McConkey for the same reason. He gets open and he catches everything. There you have it. I mean, those are the two guys after Brian Thomas Jr. And I would put – and I put Xavier Leggett in there because of his traits, but his catch radius is just okay, his catch rate. So that's it. I'd take any of those three, McConkey, Leggett, or A.D. Mitchell.
Where do you come down on Worthy?
After all three of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be a good player. He has a chance to be a really good player. But I think he's limited because of his weight.
Yeah.
You've got guys who wear equipment that weigh more than he does. You know, so
weighed in at 165.
I mean, it's really little. I can't tell you what a battle it is for a guy who's, forget about being strong and tough, for being light. He won't break tackles. It's just not going to happen. Guys do one arm curls with him. You know, he's just not going to break that grip.
Yeah, I get it. We have to step aside and take a break here, but your phone calls are next when we return, because we want to know who is the last wide receiver you'd be comfortable taking with pick 28 if you were the Bills. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. Got some open lines for you, but we'll get to your phone calls when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, back here on One Bills Live, and there is more breaking receiver news in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens have just announced they have extended the contract of their former first-round pick, Rashad Bateman. It is a 3-year extension for him, runs through the 2026 season, no numbers yet. Be interesting to see what those are in the wake of the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal that went for $120 million. the receiver market is literally exploding.
It stands to reason. I always think about how do we get to this point, because this may be the first draft. We talked about it yesterday real quick, that there won't be a running back taken in the first round. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first time in decades, right? It's at the lower levels of football, guys are choosing positions, and some of it goes into the stuff they see as the most important players on TV when they watch. Nobody talking about running backs. They're talking about wideouts.
Or who makes the most money.
And who makes the most money. When you get up to the top, when you start talking about NIL stuff at high school levels and where you're going to go to next, at high school, some of these guys are so gifted, they can pick whatever position they want. You got some of these guys that have played both sides of the ball in both skill positions and power positions. So they pick wherever they want to play.
Yeah.
And start all of a sudden, you're going to have like nine guys coming out that are all like 6'5", run 4.3s, and they're all playing wide receiver because that's where the money is.
Let's go to the phones.
I'm exaggerating maybe a little bit.
Maybe, but not much.
You get my point.
Not much. Going to the phones here, where we are asking you today, who is the last wide receiver you'd feel comfortable taking at pick 28 if you were the Bills? We go to Jerry in Tonawanda to lead us off. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. First off, I'd like to thank you on behalf of everybody for getting us through the doldrums of the offseason.
Sure thing.
You guys do a great job. Now, Brownie, I'm pounding the drum for Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State, 6'1", 220. He's compared to Tony Dorsett. He's averaged 6 yards a pop. I believe he can make the team, maybe put him on special teams or whatever, or kickoff returns or whatever. But I want to get him in the fifth round. And then Cole Wisniewski out of North Dakota State. He's a safety. He's 6'4", 220, maybe undrafted free agent or a sixth or seventh rounder. And Jaden Yankee, also out of South Dakota State, 6'3", 210, 4'5", speedster, maybe as an unrestricted free agent. And also, you haven't heard this name, but I'm pounding the drum for this guy as an unrestricted free agent. Easton Gibbs, linebacker, 6'2", 230, led the team in tackles. Where is he from? Wyoming.
All right.
So I want to get him. And last but not least, I'd like to say you got a lot of great callers, and I don't call in that much, but I love listening to everyone. You got some callers that, it's like, oh, where you come from. But to me, the best football person with the most knowledge, the smartest and the most intelligible and the educated is Judy from Buffalo. And I think she's the best. I'd love to watch a game, have some wings and a few pops with her. I love when she calls in. And I'm sorry, Mark from West Seneca and Butch, but you just can't keep up with her.
Big vote for Judy from Jerry. Judy, wow, look at Judy that. We got some Buffalo. We got some caller love here. That's great. Jerry clearly
out.
Has his draft guide and has done nothing since January but watch YouTube highlight videos. If he is all the way down to running back 17 on my list, the guy is a goner.
That's exactly
Jerry,
what I was going to say.
I'm a little worried about
Let's
you.
Let's have a little moment of silence for Jerry because he is a goner,
if
man.
You did not have, if you did not have a corrective lens prescription prior to all this college prospect film watching, bless, I will be willing to bet you do now.
Bless your heart.
Yeah,
man.
Day
oh
three. The guy is headlong into day three, and we haven't even put the Bears on the clock yet. Jerry.
Please, Jerry, please
come
tell
back
me,
to
at
us.
At least tell me you're retired, that you're not,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. From one Jerry to another, we go to Jerry in Buffalo. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, good afternoon, guys, and thanks for taking the call. My question is a little bit off topic, but it does pertain to the draft. And I've always been fascinated, and maybe you can help me understand. There's 15 minutes between picks in the first round, and then I think it's 10 minutes in the subsequent round.
Yeah, they actually reduced it. It's 10 now in round one. And
okay.
Then it goes down to
it makes
five.
It even more Yeah, it makes it even more fascinating to me, and maybe you can help me understand and I'll lay out a scenario. I know that, like, for trades, there's some parameters that I'm sure are set up. Let's say, and if Ryan Wilson isn't available at 28, this is what I'm kind of hoping happens anyway. Say at 28, Penix is still on the board, and Brandon Bean's already talked to the Raiders and says, hey, if he's still available, we might be interested. At that time, I'm making the assumption that Bean says, hey, it's going to take your number two and a number three or whatever the deal may be. So that's in place. It happens that Brian Wilson isn't there. Penix is still on the board. So Bean knows he has a trade with the Raiders. But within that 10-minute time frame, now the Falcons call, who I think pick one pick before the Raiders, and say, hey, we'll give you our number two and three. Now, it doesn't seem like there's enough time for Bean to go back to the Raiders and say, hey, I just got a better offer from Atlanta. Can you up the offer? So how does that work? I mean, it fascinates me that all of that can fall into place.
Yeah. Here's one of the way I understand it, Jerry, and I may be wrong about this, but it's all done, and now it's all done with technology. And inside the Bills war room, they got you've seen it. There's 15 people or 20 people in there. And I'll say this, there are like four or five of those guys, or six or eight of those guys, or 10, not all, whatever number that is, that have live phone lines going with other teams all the time, if not all the time, at least a good portion of the time. And the conversations you're talking about happening are starting to happen way before it gets to 28. They're starting to happen at 23, 24, 28. So you got like 30 minutes in a run-up, at least, to get that stuff lined up. And you've got an open phone line to the Raiders. You got an open phone line with at Falcons, and smart GMs will just say, "Listen, okay, unless I get a better offer, you can have it, and we'll let you know in 2 seconds." Da, 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 and then you do the deal with Atlanta. Then you go back to the Raiders and say, "Hey, we got a better offer, and we went with it." And they got to be willing to say, "Okay." You've got the technology available now, the communications technology with the internet and all that stuff, and the phone lines and. Makes it possible for these coaches and these GMs and the teams to have dialogues very fluid all the time. And it sounds complicated, but you know, you got people who are relegated to doing that, and they've got that line. So what happens.
I'm just going to say, as the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com for almost 20 years, I had the privilege of being in the draft room on four separate occasions, including the year they traded for J.P. Lossman and the year they traded up for Sammy Watkins. So I witnessed firsthand how it went. And it got down to the wire on Watkins because Doug Whaley, the GM at the time, was on the phone with the GM for the Browns at the time, Ray Farmer, and they had been going back and forth, much to Steve's point, running up to the pick at four. And the Browns were on the clock, and Whaley had given him their best offer. And he's expecting an answer of yes or no from Farmer. And in the middle of that conversation, another team calls. And he tells Whaley, I got to call you back. I will call you in 30 seconds. There's less than 5 minutes on the clock at this point in time. And that takes a lot of doing, too. Anyway, long story short, Farmer did call him back, obviously, and they got the deal done. But by the time he calls him back, now there's 3 minutes on the clock. So not only do you have to go over the exact terms of the trade again, both teams then have to call the league executive and tell him the terms of the trade. So it's officially entered and executed, and the draft order is flipped. And then the Bills have to send the card up. And that all had to happen in 3 minutes. And I'm just going to tell you, it was close. There was under a minute on the clock when they got the card up after executing all of that. It takes a well-oiled machine, and you do have to delegate responsibility to get it executed. So it can get tight and hairy at times, and that was one example when it did.
It gets less and less so, obviously, because of the time frame. You know, they got 10 minutes now with the technology, so 10 minutes between picks, then it's 5 minutes, and obviously it becomes less and less urgent the further down the draft you go,
three,
because you've
four.
Already had a chance at this guy four times. You didn't want him. You know, you got other guys, so it, you know, it's less urgent because of the quality of the prospects, basically. So they take less and less time.
Yeah. We got to take a break here, but more of your phone calls when we come back. That means Ben in Tonawanda, Patrick in Pennsylvania, Ryan in Toronto. We'll get to you when we return here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned. Who is the last wide receiver you'd take at pick 28 if you were the Bills? Who are you still comfortable with taking there? Let's say there's a run on receivers. You're far down your list of favorites. Who's the last guy at receiver you'd take at 28 and still feel good about it for the Bills? Let's go back to the phones and to Ben in Tonawanda. What's up, Ben?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, yeah, so Jerry from a little bit ago has got me inspired. I think we're going to need a draft board ranking of frequent WGR callers. That sounded enticing to me. But, no, on a serious note, I would say for me, Xavier Worthy is probably the last guy that I would take at 28. And the reason why is because, for one, like you guys said, he's light. But it just something about it gives me kind of strong John Ross vibes. The whole thing, you know, running the fastest 40 at the combine. People typically talk about this guy like he's going to be a gadget player, like he's going to take some development time. And I just don't think I'm willing to deal with that in terms of the receiver talent that's available in this draft. Honestly, a guy like Ladd McConkey, this is going to sound a little sacrilegious, but I grew up a Bills and a Packers fan. My family lives out in Wisconsin, grew up in Buffalo. But McConkey, he reminds me more of like a Jordy Nelson than, Khalil Shakir. And I think he could do some cool things for this offense. Me personally, I'd take Brian Thomas or Xavier Leggett first for the obvious upside that the two of them have. But I would love McConkey. But I think the worst thing in terms of receiver that the Bills could do is draft Xavier Worthy. No shade to him. I hope he turns out well. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at on the whole receiver thing. So interested to hear your guys' thoughts.
Thanks, Ben. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate on behalf of Worthy. He's not my favorite either. But it's hard to deny his production, which has been good since he walked onto campus in Austin. I mean, he's a freshman All-American and first-team All-Big 12 and Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year and led Texas in receiving his freshman year. 62 catches, 981 yards, 12 touchdowns. The next year, 60 for 760 and 9 touchdowns. Led the team in receiving again. Then last year, with A.D. Mitchell added to the roster, was the number one target. 75 for 1,014, 5 touchdowns. Now, look, he's got knocks on him. He's got 15 drops in his career on 100 and or 200 and something targets. But his drop rate isn't glaring. It's his size. his size and his, there are, you know, is he going to be able to hold up? Because the Big 12 is not a conference known for playing lights out defense. And I realize they're going to the SEC next year, but wrapping up in the Big 12. Yeah, for me, there are concerns about his slight build. You're not playing 13, 14 games anymore. You're playing 17. And you're playing much bigger, much more physical corners. Can you get off press against a physical corner like, you know, a Jalen Ramsey or a Pat Surtain? I don't know. That's the question. And those are the concerns.
Yeah, I'd say this too. Ladd McConkey's no Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson was a big dude.
Yeah, he was like 6'3", wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he was off the chart.
McConkey's under 6 foot.
Yeah, he was an off the charts kind of athlete too. He had some traits that McConkey doesn't have. Now McConkey's a really good player. I think he could
runs
have
fast, quick.
But you're talking about a guy like Jordy Nelson, who played for eight, nine years in the NFL.
Yeah, and then injuries.
And he had a season also for Oakland. He had a cup of coffee with Oakland. Yeah, listen.
You could do a lot worse than Xavier Worthy or Ladd McConkey.
That's right. Ladd McConkey, you know, he may chop one of his little fingers off to have a career like Jordy Nelson. But I see what you're saying there. Jordy Nelson could scoot. He was big dude, and he had some problems. So there are different guys. I'm with you, though. I don't want a guy like an Xavier Worthy at work. It's like Isaiah McKenzie was for the Bills. He'd show flashes and all this, but he just
I think he's got outside receiver ability,
right,
though.
That's
where he's different than
I think
McKenzie.
Ladd McConkey is more of that. I think he's more of a down and distance guy than a gadget guy, McConkey is.
Yeah, but I think Worthy can line up outside. He did it at Texas.
I don't think so. Let me just say that. That's where you and I disagree. I don't think he can. They're going to put a guy on his face. And with one hand, that guy's going to hold him at the line of scrimmage.
That is a concern for me.
Now, Worthy can outrun people, but he's not going to run through anybody. And a DB will just step in front of him every chance he gets. And Worthy's not going to be able to move him. I think that's going to be a real issue for him. I think he's going to really struggle to get on the field outside playing on a corner that's standing, you know, 2 feet away from him.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the question mark, and obviously it is because Brownie and I don't agree on it. I mean it's hard to answer until you see it.
Right. Let's go to Patrick in Pennsylvania next. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Steve. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate that insight. But to answer the question you guys have going here, one book that I look at here just for lines like this, they have it set at 6.5 wide receivers in the first round currently, you know, over under. So whether you think it's going to be under 6 or going to go to 7, basically. They have the big three, and then they have Donnie Mitchell at 27.5 draft position, and then Brian Thomas Jr. at 17.5. And I think those guys are absolute locks, obviously, for the first round. And I think we'll probably have to trade up for either one of those two, myself. And then they have, Worthy at 31.5, and then McConkey still squeaking into the first round at 32.5. Worthy is my cutoff, personally, for where we're selecting without moving. I would be all right with taking Xavier Leggett at pick 28, strictly just because of the measurables. I would be okay with a small reach like that myself. And I do like Ladd McConkey, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I would rather a small, perhaps, trade down and then acquire him if that were the case. But Worthy, Leggett are my last two first-round options, and I just think we're really going to see receivers fly off the board in this first round, personally. Even teams that might not be chalking up to take in receivers, I think might even take some of these guys just to have them. If you see Worthy go to the 49ers or Rams, I think that would be a problem for the league. But I just really think, we need to get a guy with plus measurables for Allen to throw it to.
Right.
I mean, Stephon Diggs, his best receiver, throughout his tenure. I mean, even he didn't test really off the charts when he came out. I think he ran in the high 4.4s in the 40, which is pretty good, but he didn't jump through the roof. He didn't really have crazy breakaway speed. We really just haven't done Josh many favors as far as getting guys with plus-plus attributes for him to throw it to. I'd rather us stay at 28 and take, you know, Worthy, maybe A.D. Mitchell if he falls there, and then trade back up to the top around two and get a Pearsall or a Javon Baker, Keon Coleman even. Get two guys, you know. You're not sure about Worthy, at least get him at 28 and then trade up for a guy you might be a little more sure on that you think might be there till round two.
Yeah, get it, Patrick. Sorry, we got to jump here because we're up against the clock, but I get what you're saying. I would say this, though. If you're okay with Worthy, I think you kind of contradicted yourself a little bit. You want Brandon Bean to get Josh Allen, somebody with elite physical traits. His only elite trait is his speed, and believe me, that's a great trait to have, but that's about it with him. I would argue that a player like Leggett has more elite physical traits because he runs almost as fast and is 6'1", 221 pounds, and can box about any defender in the league out of the way for the football. So if you're looking for elite physical traits, Worthy doesn't have as many as Xavier Leggett.
Right.
He doesn't have as many as A.D. Mitchell.
Right.
So that's the rub for a lot of people there at 28.
Yeah, we can take a break here. Maddie's coming on with the
mock draft
stuff, and some of this that I'm going to talk about in relation to what Ben just said. I can wait till then. It has to do with teams taking players just to draft. It's another step in this process we got to go through, but it'll wait till after the break.
Yeah, and I think people in the first round are going to be more crazy for offensive tackles than they are wide receivers. I think that's going to happen, and it's going to happen earlier than wide receiver position.
Right.
Break time for us. When we come back, our colleague Maddie Glab joins us for the final mock draft watch tabulations prior to the 2024 NFL draft. We'll get all the results when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, second hour of the show here on a Wednesday as we are just over 24 hours away from the 2024 NFL Draft. Time is running out, so we had to get Maddie Glab on for the final mock draft watch.
Final countdown.
Exactly. All the tabulations have been made. Nice reference to Europe there, by the way. All the tabulations have been made. All the mock drafts have been tracked. And if there are any more after this, too bad.
Sorry,
Maddie is
you.
Done. It's no more.
We just had a guy call in, and he was talking about getting one of these guys. And he made the statement that caught my eye. He said, "Let's just one of these teams up there is going to draft one of these guys just to have a guy." And it brought to mind that all these teams, just like the Bills, like to get which. I don't know if we're all on board with them being there this year because we're talking wide receiver. They want to take the best player no matter what position. They want their roster to be so filled out already they can take the best player. Well, okay, but not all of them are.
Nope, and when you look at position groups, not all of them are either because you want to be drafting a player in the first round who makes sense financially for your team. Think about the Bills
money
and their
players.
Salary cap. Think about what they could save if they draft a wide receiver with that 28th overall pick, or if they move up in the draft to draft a wide receiver.
Yeah, you're talking about money positions, quarterbacks, of course, and they're at the top of this draft. Offensive tackles, the draft is really top-heavy and a lot of really quality offensive linemen. Wide receivers, big draft for wide receivers, maybe the biggest we've ever seen. And the other one is edge rushers. Now, this one's not as thick in edge rushers as most drafts. But when you're talking, if you're going to get best player available, not only that, you want to do it economically as well. So you want to get these money players who are going to outperform their rookie contracts during their first 4 years in a draft where you're rich in those positions.
Guys, we saw what Amon-Ra St. Brown went for today and what the wide receiver market is going to be for players like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Think about drafting a wide receiver and at what that saves you for the first 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Right.
And that number is just going to go up on wide receivers. Should we talk about the numbers?
Yeah, I want to – let's just lay it out. When all was said and done, I mean, I think we can guess what the most popular position was.
Right.
But you went top three, so let's hear how that shook out with all the mocks.
Tracked 147 total mock drafts starting at the end of January. I am so happy to be done, although I loved my time doing it. Wide receiver is number one. 115 times wide receiver was mocked to Buffalo. That's 78% of the mock drafts tracked. Number two, defensive line. 17 times defensive line was mocked to Buffalo. That's 12%. And coming in third, defensive back. 10 times, so 7%.
Okay. And I saw that you also tracked how many times there were trade-ups for a wide receiver. And I gotta
were
admit,
you surprised?
I thought the number was going to be higher.
Me too.
So what is the number of trade-ups?
12 times a mock draft had us trading up for a wide receiver. 14 total times we traded up. Two of those 14 times were for a defensive lineman.
Oh, okay.
So there were 14 total trade-ups. 12 of those trade-ups were for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Two of those were for a defensive lineman. One was Laiatulatu, and I think another one was Byron Murphy.
And I guess as I think about it now, knowing the Diggs trade happened so late in the game, I think a lot of people had us taking a receiver, but then after the Diggs trade happened, people are like, they got to trade up to get a receiver now.
Right.
And that didn't really happen until March, so maybe that's why the number was so small.
We saw most of the trade-ups happening in April.
Yeah.
So we've had a shift in names as well because as the knowledge comes out and we start to get opinions about where teams are thinking, and now you start getting pro days 40 times, and it's all the hay is in the barn, and you've got all the information you're going to get. Now, in the last week, I didn't know A.D. Mitchell was a diabetic. Right, we didn't know Brian Thomas Jr. had a
shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this stuff.
The last minute details are coming out on these guys.
So now these guys have gotten, oh my gosh, they've got some warts. So now how does that change? Has it changed things very much?
What I've seen in the last 2 days, there have been, let's say, 8 to 10 mock drafts. A.D. Mitchell is still getting mocked to Buffalo. Brian Thomas Jr. is still getting mocked to Buffalo. A name that I've seen pop up a couple times, more frequently than in the past, Xavier Worthy going to the Bills at number 28.
Now, when those mocks come out, do you think Xavier Worthy's coming to Buffalo because Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell are gone?
Yes. I have seen mock drafts with Brian Thomas Jr. going in the 8 to 10 range, and A.D. Mitchell going in the teens. Now, I've only seen two of those mock drafts that we have tracked, but Brian Thomas Jr. seems to be going in the teens range in quite a few mock drafts now.
Yeah.
So he could be off the board by number 28. I'm starting to think that if Buffalo wants to go get Brian Thomas Jr., they're going to have to go trade up and get him. What is that perfect number? Is it after 15? Is it 18 that they'd be willing to move up to go get them if they believe that is their guy?
Yeah, I think the cost is a little too rich for Brandon Bean's blood above 15 because you're talking the first half of the round and you got to part with a lot of capital to do that. That's why I'm convinced if somehow, some way, Brian Thomas gets past 15, which could happen. I mean, you could have a run on tackles. The quarterback market could be stupid in the top 10, like crazy stupid, like five quarterbacks in the first 12 picks or whatever. That helps the Bills. And so if you have that, you have a run on tackles, and Indianapolis needs cornerback help. Let's not forget that. And they could get the best corner in the draft at 15 potentially. He gets past 15. I think Brandon Bean's on the phone with the
Brownie's
Seahawks.
Been saying that for a while now. If you get past 15, you start looking at teams. And, you know, if you know a team or you think a team, like a Cincinnati, is going to they're going to take an offensive lineman because they got all the wide receivers they could ever possibly want. So if you get to Cincinnati, they could – at 18, you may get the first or second or third offensive tackle off the board at 18. You can drop back and take the fifth or sixth offensive tackle and still be – plugged in for a decade with that guy in this draft.
Daniel Jeremiah tweeted today, to summarize my last five phone calls, everyone is moving up for an offensive tackle.
Yeah, I think it's going
to
be nuts.
This might be great for teams who want a wide receiver. You may see a couple guys fall. And in a few mock drafts, I've seen Odunze fall beyond 10 because of the tackles and the quarterbacks that are going off the board in the first 10 picks.
And there have been some mocks that have Brian Thomas to the Bills at 28.
Yes.
Which I don't know if that's going to happen, but the fact that people are thinking it's even possible is surprising enough. But I think it speaks to all the uncertainty of what could happen in the top 10, either because teams are getting quarterback antsy or teams are getting offensive tackle antsy between the ranges of like 10 and 15. I think that's really where the run on tackles is going to happen. We all believe Tennessee's taking one at 7, and then, okay, receiver here, pass rusher there, maybe a quarterback or two, 12 and 13. But then after that, people are just going to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on offensive tackles after that. That could help the Bills.
The more we talk about it, you know, we've been talking about it since March. I think they are probably going to set a record for the most offensive players taken in the first round of the draft. The record's 19.
Okay.
And 20 is, it seems like, I don't think there's 10 defensive guys I can name in this draft.
Not for round one.
For at every position, there may be 10.
Yeah.
At every position, let alone the corners and all that, the money spots, the edge rushers and stuff. It'll be interesting to see how far down we have to go to get a defender taken.
Yeah.
If 8 offensive tackles, let's just say offensive linemen, that's going to happen, taken in the first round, when you factor in the interior offensive linemen that could go off the board.
Graham Barton, Jackson Brown,
right, right.
Johnson.
5 quarterbacks and 7 wide receivers, you get to 20.
20.
The overrun. I told him the overrun.
Bowers is in there, so you're at 21. Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, is in there. That now you're at 22.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think – I don't know why. It's just this gut feeling.
Layout two, people
Latu's are just
going to
go nutso for offensive tackles between like 10 and 16, 17.
And that's without, and let me, we'll say it again. That's without a single running back being taken in the first round. Not even projected to be taken.
Not happening this season.
Maddie, the one other thing that I know you tracked were how the names changed month by month, you know, from February to March to April in terms of who was the favorite receiver name as we went through the process. We didn't cover this already, did we?
No, haven't talked about it yet.
So let's go month by month. Tell us the most popular name as we moved from February to March to this month, April.
I like tracking this because it's fun to see trends, especially when you're a team looking for possibly multiple positions with your first pick. You can really see how trends take shape and form over the course of a few months. So in February, I tracked 32 mock drafts. Brian Thomas Jr. was the favorite, being mocked to Buffalo 13 times. At number 2, Keon Coleman, mocked to Buffalo 7 times. Number 3 was Troy Franklin, mocked to Buffalo 7 times. Troy Franklin kind of dropped off of a cliff after February. He no longer was one of the top wide receivers being mocked to the Bills. So in March, I tracked 42. Number 1, Adonai Mitchell being mocked to the Bills 14 times. Number 2, Brian Thomas Jr. 7 times. Adonai Mitchell stayed the favorite in April. 59 mock drafts tracked. Adonai Mitchell mocked to the Bills 22 times. Number 2 was Brian Thomas Jr. 13 times. Number 3, Xavier Worthy 7 times.
So the popularity of Mitchell in April is what helped him pass Brian Thomas for the overall most popular prospect.
Yeah.
Because he only beat him by three mock selections to the Bills, 39 through 36. So he doesn't have that big April. That doesn't happen.
22 to 13 in April, it seemed like every other mock draft, Adonai Mitchell was heading to the Bills.
April's when the combine took place. And they got everybody.
It's after the combine.
Yeah, everybody
pro
got
days.
A, right.
Yeah.
Everybody got days. A chance to see the guy and start talking to people about
Brian Thomas had a good workout too, but
yes,
Mitchell jumped out of the gym.
Well, I think that's why Brian Thomas went down, is because he was gone in most of the drafts when they
Yes,
so,
that's true too.
You know what I mean? So that's the thing. A.D. Mitchell, I think it intersected with Buffalo's need and the number at 28 and the ascension of Brian Thomas Jr. and other players up to that point. And A.D. got better, you know, so and he got into the first round.
In a few mock drafts, we also are moving up to go grab A.D. Mitchell. Mm. Do you guys believe that could happen tomorrow night?
Yes. I think. I don't think you'd have to move as far. So let's just say the Bills can't get up to where they want to get Brian Thomas. They can't get a deal done. Now it becomes an exercise in where do you have to go to get Mitchell. And I think it's hard to determine where that would be, but I think Philadelphia could be a candidate at 22. I don't think the Dolphins help you at 21. I don't think the Steelers help you at 20. And then you're down after that to, 23, 24. They've done trades with Dallas before, 24. But you could argue that Dallas may be looking for one of those tackles. And if the run has already happened and the value stinks, maybe you can get them to move out of there. If they want to get an offensive tackle a little bit later and slide back four spots. And then you have the Bucks at 26, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a team. The problem is you could easily see the Bucks taking a receiver. They're going to need an heir apparent to Mike Evans, who's not going to do it forever and is entering his 11th season in the league. So, yeah, I think a smaller move to get AD, especially if he's the next last guy that you got on your board.
And you want to go get him.
Minnesota is a great spot, except the fact that Minnesota's also got
the 11th pick. They might have that pick by the time we get
there. Yeah, they've got 11 and 23, and they need a quarterback.
You know who might have that pick by then? New England.
That's right, or Arizona.
Yeah.
That's...
Actually, if it's Arizona, you might be able to get him to move, because they also have the 27th pick. So you might get Arizona to slide back to you. Now they have 27 and 28.
That's a good point.
And what they could do with that. So if you want one of those teams to trade down into that pick at 23 and it's not Minnesota, you'd rather have it be Arizona than New England.
Unless Minnesota trades 23 and 11 to Arizona and Arizona takes both those from them.
Yeah.
Now Arizona's got like four first-round picks.
Well, they have 27. And they would have 11 and 23.
Yeah, they have three first-round picks. Yeah. Wow.
So they would be apt to slide back a little bit and get even more draft capital later, conceivably. What are you going to pay three first-rounders? That's tough, too. Don't forget
that. It's hard to do. But,
this is why the draft is amazing.
I don't know. It's awesome, yeah. So we started this thing, and I get back to it. You got to take the best player available, but there's so much in that, right? Certainly there's taking the best all-around guard who's going to play for 10 years and be your guy, or a wide receiver who's going to play for 10 years and be your guy. The wide receiver is probably going to have more game-breaking plays during a career than a guard will, right? So there's money positions. There's wide receiver, quarterback, edge rusher, and offensive tackle.
And there's a hole on the roster for wide receiver.
Now, the Bills, I don't think any of us are in the spot where we've been in the last few years, where Bills could take anybody. I don't think there is. They don't have that luxury this year. I think this is a draft where they've got a little bit of a positional emergency.
Let's say disaster strikes and the value at receiver has completely been blown to smithereens. Give us the defensive names most mocked to the Bills, Maddie. If it's not a receiver, who do most people target for the Bills on the defensive side of the ball?
Aside from wide receivers, the top two defensive players mocked to the Bills at number 28, defensive tackle Johnny Newton out of Illinois. He was mocked to the Bills 7 times. And defensive back Cooper DeJean out of Iowa was mocked to the Bills 5 times. I could see both of those names happening for Buffalo if the run on wide receivers has already happened.
I think, I don't have a problem with him taking an edge guy or a defensive tackle. I think that's more likely. I don't see him taking a safety in the first round. I just don't see that being that position being that big a priority. With any safety in the draft, let alone Cooper DeJean or anybody else, I just can't see that.
Well, to your point that you just made earlier about positional emergency and needing to fill a role, your first-round pick is a guy you want on the field right away. Not that the Bills have always subscribed to that with first-round picks in the past, but Dalton Kincaid got on the field right away, and I think if you land a receiver, you kind of want the same kind of path for him as Kincaid had last year. On the defensive side of the ball, that's harder to justify because Johnny Newton – would be Ed Oliver's backup.
Exactly. He's a three tech.
15, 20 snaps a game? And Cooper DeJean, whether you play him at corner or you play him at safety, is he unseating Rasul Douglas or Christian Benford or even Taylor Rapp at strong safety? I don't know that he is.
Right.
So it might be just as much an exercise of finding a guy that we can get on the field to help our roster, which I think has had its greatest veteran turnover in the Bean McDermott era.
Yes.
You got to get somebody that's going to play for you, too. And if it's at those two positions, I agree with you. I don't know if he's getting on the field.
Yeah, so I'm right. Unless he turns out to be better than what he looks like, right? I mean,
well, yeah, that could happen.
But I'm totally with you. I think this is a wide receiver or bust year for the Bills. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade back.
You're getting people really excited.
If they trade back,
if they don't have any wide receivers they like, that makes sense.
And get two of them.
Yeah, pick up a three.
And yeah, or take one at 38 and one at 60, and then
whatever else you need in the third round.
Then in the back, mm-hmm. then you get that third rounder for trading back and
defense.
And you get you can start diversifying then. But get two guys with some traits and some qualities that you like at the top of the draft.
The Bills draft two receivers with their first two picks. People are going to be going gaga.
And Brownie's going to be doing.
They're
going to
have a parade.
Brownie's
going to
be carrying a Bills flag, running laps.
I will. I already committed to that. If our first two picks are receivers, I will run a lap around this facility. You can give me a flag. You can give me a silly hat. I don't care. I will do it.
We released an article on BuffaloBills.com this morning. Top seven storylines to follow ahead of the NFL draft. One of the things that I asked NFL Network Cynthia Freeland and CBS Sports draft analyst Chris Trapasso was, could you see Buffalo going back-to-back wide receiver? Mm. If you do, you like that? Or are you against that? Both of them said, I loved what Brandon Bean did when Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham got drafted in the first round and the second round. Back-to-back defensive linemen going off the board to Buffalo. They said they would also love to see that for the Bills in this year's draft.
I would love to see it,
because you double your chances.
And in that same draft, they went back-to-back at offensive tackle. They went right after that. They went Spencer Brown, Tommy Doyle.
Tommy Doyle, yeah.
So it's not something that would be unprecedented for the Bills in round one and two.
And I'll say this, too. Think about it. They got three really solid players out of those four guys. Tommy Doyle's still on the team, but he's been injured. But you know, Spencer Brown had a real his best year as a pro last year at right tackle, and Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham have been like plug and play. They have taken, and Greg Rousseau has really emerged. I mean, that guy, you can't get him off the field in a team that rotates.
Yeah,
I mean, he's always out there, and he's been available too. That's been huge. So they got it right when they did it. I'd love to see him get it right at wide receiver the same way.
Mm-hmm. Guys, we've talked about wide receivers. We've talked about prospects. We've watched the tape. We've studied the numbers. Is there a wide receiver that you guys have fallen in love with that you would love to see on this team?
It's interesting you say that, Maddie. We're going to have to hold that because that
is
our
holding
show
it
tomorrow.
For? Okay.
Who's your favorite guy? That will be revealed tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
On tomorrow's show.
Okay.
So that's what we will do.
We're not giving up any info right now.
Great minds think alike. You're on the right track, Maddie, but we can't give you answers today. Yeah. We will have to hold those and disclose them.
We're
going to
have you write yours down on a piece of paper and seal it in an envelope.
That's
right. We'll open it on the show tomorrow. Don't tell us what it is.
But, Maddie, thanks for all the mock draft watch help all pre-draft season.
Awesome stuff.
We're glad you finally get a break on this.
So are you?
Your eyes won't glaze over from another mock draft.
It had to be kind of like ho-hum because everybody's picking us to take a wide out, you know. So was it more fun last year when they were, you know, we were all
a little
more all
varied.
Over the map?
Last year, I looked back at last year to count the number of prospects, different names that got mocked to us. It was in the 40s because if you remember last year's draft class, people had a slew of different grades of so many different guys that could be drafted in the first round versus this year. It's not as deep as it was last year in terms of the grades that people had on people. We had like 20 something different prospects be mocked to the Bills at number 28 or within the range of the 20s. So I enjoyed seeing all the wide receivers.
I think this draft is more like the draft 2 years ago when everybody under the sun said we needed a corner.
Kyir Elam was a favorite name at the end.
And we made a little jump up to get him. Mm-hmm. Could that happen again this year for a receiver?
I think that is the template that we're working with right now. I think they're going to trade up into the mid-20s and take
whoever they can land.
The guy, yeah.
All right, Maddie, thanks as always.
Thanks, Maddie.
Maddie and I, by the way, will be doing a live stream on the Bills' social channels right after the Bills' first-round pick on Thursday night. So whether that pick is made at 8:30 p.m. or 11:30 p.m., Maddie and I will be kicking in a live stream immediately after the pick for reaction. We'll have Greg Cosell joining us as well for some analysis. And then, obviously, we'll go to Brandon Bean right after, presuming he gets down to the podium in short order, for full wall-to-wall coverage after the pick is made. And then we'll do it again on Friday night after their second-round pick.
Nothing else going on. I'm taking a weekend off. You guys work hard.
See
so
you
check
later,
out Tasker. The Bills YouTube channel, all the other social channels. Maddie and I will be streaming live right after the Bills pick Thursday night.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we take a break here, but we come back with your phone calls next on One Bills Live. Stay with us. All right, back here on One Bills Live on a Wednesday, day before the 2024 NFL Draft. We are asking you, who is the last receiver on your list you'd feel good about the Bills taking at pick 28 in the NFL Draft? Back to the phones we go, and we got to rip through some here. So let's go to Elliot in Rochester next. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So just taking a look at the list, I just want to touch on a few things. I know Brownie and Steve, you both were concerned about Ladd McConkey and Xavier Worthy being able to line up out wide. They did line up about 200 to 300 snaps out wide, significantly more than the slot. But I understand your concern with guys like Tyreek Hill being – you know, press coverage by Snead and not being able to do anything as one of the best receivers in the league. It's certainly a concern unless the Bills were to get Worthy and use him in the motion, kind of like the Dolphins did with Tyreek Hill earlier in the year. You have to be able to create space for the guy to get off the line. But to your point, we need a true X receiver, someone who can, get those jump balls downfield. McConkey is similar in size to Diggs, and Diggs showed ability to do that. So, but to keep, long story short here, I think it's between Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell. You kind of cut it off there. I don't even know if I were the GM, if I would take McConkey or Worthy with the 28th pick. So really it's the top five. We're not going to be able to get any of the top three. So then it really comes down to Thomas and Mitchell. Otherwise, I think we're kind of wasting the value of a first-round pick, and we might be better served to get, an edge rusher to back up Von Miller because he's going to need to be replaced here soon.
Right.
And then maybe even trade back, like you said, Javon Baker or Jermaine Burton, and combo those two guys, roll the dice, and hope we hit on one of them. And plus the Bills are visiting with some guys like Ryan Flournoy, like probably more sixth-round, seventh-round picks. I think there's a lot of these dark horse guys that Bean, he's got a backup plan for. And, crazier things have happened. Look at Shakir, right? Maybe the guy that ends up being the stud is a sixth rounder, a seventh rounder we pick at the end. And that's just the funniness of the NFL draft sometimes. But thank you, guys. Looking forward to tomorrow and the rest of the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Elliot. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Christian Elliot. Benford's another example of that.
Yeah. There's going to be some of those guys in this draft, in particular, at wide receiver. Somebody in like the third, second, fourth, fifth, whatever round is going to emerge as being like Puka Nacua was last year. He's going to be like, wow, who is this guy? And, hopefully you get one of those guys, but I'm totally with you. And that's exactly why we asked the question. You said it's A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr., or you know what? Let's trade out.
Or take an edge rusher if the value is right.
Or take somebody else if the edge is the value is right. That's it. And I agree with you. I think that's where I'm at as well. I don't go. I know.
Not
I
even
like,
your boy Leggett. Well, I think I'd be okay with him at 28.
If they take him, it's because they had a private workout with him, as it is reported, and so they'll know. And if they think he's worth that, I'll say okay. I'll be happy with that too, because I don't think it's worth it right now sitting where I am. But if they take him, it's because they know things I don't, because they've worked the guy out and know him. And believe me, those workouts mean a lot. So if they take anybody, I'm good with it because they know more than I do. But sitting a million miles away, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd take Leggett.
Let's go to Mark in Jersey City next. What's up, Mark?
Hi. How are you doing, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call.
I would take Leggett. I don't want KC getting a hold of him. I think they're going to take a tackle. I don't want Worthy at all. I don't like those light in the you-know-what types that run sub-4.3 because the track record of those guys are Darius Hayward Bay, and everybody just goes gaga. I remember Snoop Dogg, like
John Ross.
I don't know who Nike signed him right after that. He ran that and gave him a shoe deal, and my God, the guy's out of the league. So no thank you. If Miami wants him, go ahead, take him. Build a track team. What did it get you? I just like Worthy. I see the Bills. They don't mind the slow burn. They don't mind the buildup. They don't mind developing players. They don't, you know, if you're looking for a receiver that's going to come in step right away, McConkey. Josh thrives with those easy button guys. I mean, Diggs, Beasley. He's kind of a Diggs-Beasley like combo. But Leggett is just such a package that you don't get all the time. I just think he'd be too intriguing to pass up. And as far as nominating callers go, Bills went 7-1 after the toothless drunk from Lackawanna called. Love Judy, but that's my vote. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it. I think the case that you make for Mark and Leggett is what Bean's history is in round one. Outside of Ed Oliver, ninth overall, every first-round pick he has made has been a player with elite physical traits. And I will say it again. I said it earlier this hour. The only elite trait that Xavier Worthy has is his timed speed, which is readily apparent on the field, don't get me wrong, and it's a weapon. But I think Xavier Leggett, if you're going to go elite physical traits, has more of them than Xavier Worthy does. Yeah, and Leggett, that's why I have him ahead of Worthy in my pecking order, because I think he offers you more elite physical traits to work with.
Yeah, Leggett ran a 4.39. 4.39 as well. I mean, that guy can scoot.
That's not a 4.21, but that's moving.
Well, McConkey ran a 4.41, which is 200 slower.
And let's not forget this. Leggett weighs 60 pounds more.
60.
Than Worthy.
60.
60 pounds, and he runs a 4.39.
That's
what is Worthy running if he's 221 pounds?
That's right.
I don't know if he's running, a 4.39.
No, he's running to the bathroom is where he's running it.
Water weight.
Right. That's what you're looking at. I hear Elliot. He's right. I'm totally with you. Get some physical traits at that spot.
Or Mark, you meant.
Mark, I'm sorry. Mark from Jersey City. I'm totally with you. Worthy seems to me, and we've had guys like that, you know. Isaiah McKenzie.
And John Ross was the ninth pick in the draft to the Bengals, ran a 4.22. That's the record who Worthy beat. And he was out of the league after like 3 years.
Yeah.
There's not a good track record with track guys.
You got to be a football player first.
And look, Worthy's got production. 3 years of it. There's no debating that. But I maintain that the college game is different than the pro game. The pro game is so much more physical, grinding, demanding, rugged.
You get if you're a guy who is susceptible to getting pushed around and beat up, this isn't like in college where they'll take a shot at you once in a while, they'll give you an extra shot. This is, if it's the game plan, that corner is told, hey, you bang into him every snap. He never gets a break. 60 snaps offensively, he's getting knocked on the ground 60 times. Yeah. That's the game plan. Let's go. And that's their job. And you get, Christian Benford's out there banging him.
Yeah.
Every play.
6'1", 215.
That's the way it works. So you don't get, you're not, and I say it again, you don't get to play against dental students in the NFL.
Yeah.
You're playing against guys whose job it is to make your life miserable.
Yep.
And they will.
To Jack in Cheektowaganx. What's up, Jack?
Hi, guys. Basically, a bunch of the callers and the last half of your session with Maddie covered the bulk of what I was looking to discuss. But
okay. My
problem is, at 28, if Brandon Bean can be taken at his word, he doesn't see 28 first-round values in this draft. And a bunch of the other people have said, they're looking at somewhere between 20 and 24 first-round values tops. So I don't care who slides or who is available at 28. If they are not a first-round talent, then it's not the value that Bean says he wants. Trade back. Get a mid two. Get a three that's between 60 and 128. Hope that, you know, out of those three picks, if you get two receivers out of that, that you find a gem like Stephon Diggs, who was a fourth-round draft pick.
It was a fifth-round pick.
You know, yeah. But fifth-round pick. See if you can get that, because I trust their evaluations at that end as much as I do in that front end and what their cutoff is for a first-round value. I just don't see Bean taking a receiver at 28 unless he's absolutely convinced that the guy's a first-round talent. And it doesn't, you know, I don't see, you know, 31 other teams letting a first-round talent slip to number 28 at the Bills. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
You got to trade back.
You're right, Jack.
And go with that.
The real thing here about it here is this, Jack. The 20, we'll say there's 23 or 20 or whatever. 20.
John Lynch said there were 22 on their board.
So they got 22 first-round talented guys. The problem is this. Even if the Niners, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Bears, all these other teams also have 22, it's a different 22.
Yeah, it's not the same 22 guys.
There may be 70 guys in this draft pool that are drafted, that are thought of by somebody, by one of the 32 teams, as being a first-round talent.
Because you have to remember, too, all these clubs do not grade players the same way. A perfect example is a team that plays a 3-4 defense compared to a team that plays a 4-3 defense.
Right.
Darius Robinson, the talented defensive end from Missouri, who goes 6'6", 285 pounds, is a perfect 5 technique for a 3-4 defensive team. I think he's still thought of in great regard by a lot of 4-3 defensive teams as well, but a 3-4 team might have him higher on their board because he's an ideal fit for what they do defensively. He may not even be a first-round grade for some teams that play a 4-3 defense because, you know, they're looking for speed guys off the edge, and he is not that.
Right.
He's a power player. So that's just one example.
And I would grant you that – so, yes, but in a vacuum, I think you're exactly right, Jack. If he doesn't think the guy's worth the 28 pick, don't pick him. Trade back. Get what you can get. And get some players who you do think will be. So – I don't have a problem with that either. If he trades back, I'll be surprised because it would really be some self-discipline on his part,
yep,
on Brandon Bean's part.
Break time for us. We'll try to squeeze in one more call when we come back here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned. All right, back here on One Bills Live. Going to crack open the tweet sheet quickly here, which is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Who's the last wide receiver you'd pick at 28 and feel good about if you were the Bills? From Fucha Jr., it's between Coleman and A.D. Mitchell for me. Coleman lacks the separation I want in a wide receiver, and Mitchell just doesn't really impress me at all. Okay, he had one drop last year. One of every five of his receptions went for a touchdown, as he had 11 total. I don't know. Maybe does that help Fucha Jr.? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, Mitch, A.D. Mitchell, for me, is quite some distance ahead of Coleman.
Yes. I don't even think Coleman's a first-round pick. EJ says, Harrison Jr., neighbors of Dunze, and Brian Thomas Jr. will be long gone by 28, so McConkey, Leggett, and Worthy are the only wide receivers worth a first-round pick. I believe McConkey can be a 100-plus catch, 1,200-yard, 10-touchdown weapon for Josh Allen. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he could be. I don't know.
He's got one of the higher floors in the class.
I'll say this, too. He ran a 4.39. Let the guy, you know, turn him loose.
Yeah, see what he can do.
Or 4.41, I guess he did. But, yeah, maybe he can play outside.
Andrew says, Worthy will most likely be there at 28. Not the biggest player, but has speed and can make plays after the catch, and those are usually the qualities that Bean looks for. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be options.
He's little.
The question is which ones are left by the time they're on the clock. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on draft day at 1 o'clock.